Hello, everyone. You have entered the battle phase. It is I, the Midnight Bard, your favorite bard, and I've been abducted by aliens. Joining me, as always, is the boys. Starting from the top, we got Helix, who once met Bigfoot in person.
I thought I was Bigfoot.
And Sacro, who... Oh, gosh, I didn't even think of one. And damn it.
Wow, I feel very loved here. Hold on.
And Sacro, who loves to go swimming with the Loch Ness Monster.
Fun fact, I've been to Loch Ness. It was nice. There's no railing, so drive safely there.
Brother Gamma was eaten by an antelope this week, so until he respawns, he's going to be absent. However, I did manage to channel him via spiritual means, so you might hear him speak up here and there.
Hello, this is Gamma. I have been eaten by an antelope, but I wanted to give my opinion on a few things. I am channeling Bar with this information for him to add it to the episode. I hope it gets through.
Question, Bard.
Yes.
What kind of aliens abducted you?
Not the kind that we want to talk about. I'm carrying a lot of... I am carrying a lot of trauma. And
the Asari?
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, the Asari, got it. Easy.
yeah, of course. That being said, in case you guys haven't figured it out, today we're talking about an upcoming anime adaptation for a manga that I've been really excited for a long, long time. I have often said that this was going to get an anime adaptation one day and the world wouldn't know what hit it. We are talking about Dandadan by Yokinobu Tatsu.
Is it Dandadan or Dandadan?
I don't... It's a bo-bo-bo situation. There is a million and one different ways to say it. But
calling it the Dandadan.
Right. Yeah. So some housekeeping matters before we get into the discussion. Today we will be discussing roughly the first two story arcs, volumes one and all the way midway through volume three. 18 chapters, so if you're looking not to get spoiled, be aware. Other than that, visit us on Twitter/X at the Battleface Podcast. What even is our Twitter? I don't even remember. I'm pretty sure
you made it.
I made it.
I will look for it while you're doing your thing.
I'm never on it, so I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, Helix doesn't know. Okay, visit us on Twitter on our official Twitter account, the Bat. Damn it. Visit us on Twitter on our official Twitter account at the Battle Phase. Make suggestions for what we should read next, for what anime we should watch, or for, any other suggestions that you might have. Tell us which one of us is the most handsome and why it's Bard.
That's based.
Based. If we're going off voices, you usually can't tell how attractive someone is by voice. I've been spoiled many times by hearing an attractive voice and then looking at the person, I'm like, oh.
All right. So that's it for housekeeping matters, unless you guys had anything else to add to that. Anything going on with you guys that you want to be aware of? You can visit us on our YouTube channel as well, Gamers Playing Games TV. It's a YouTube channel where we do a lot of gameplays. We recently lost a Nuzlocke at Gym 2 in Brilliant Diamond. So
it's still fresh.
And
it's still fresh. Still fresh.
It happened literally yesterday.
Yesterday.
I entirely blame y'all.
Blame y'all. You can blame that Turtwig who refused to miss. I was like, dude, this guy.
y'all ran into that, and you were so careful for the first gym, and then you're like, yeah, let's go do the second gym right after. It's like,
you're right. I was very careful for the first gym, and then right after. I mean, like, the thing is, I got overly confident. I did, and this is what I didn't want to do with the first gym, but I guess, like, after the first gym, I was like, yeah, I can do this. But the same thing happened to me in this run that happened to me on the previous run that I did with Shining Pearl, because I did a Nuzlocke with Shining Pearl where I started with Chimchar, and the first gym was hard, but I had a Machop that kind of like basically soloed it, right? But then whenever we got to the second gym, my Chimchar was a Monferno, and he was able to carry me through that one, because... Like, even though Roserade does a lot of poisoning, it was like...
You had a fire type.
Yeah, I had a fire type, so it was fine.
We would have won if the bird had just attack instead of double team to be honest.
Our Staravia, like, yeah, no, because I was hoping that double team would make it hard, especially because we got three of them off. And I was like, okay, look, we should be evasively okay now. But like that, like I said, that Turtwig just did not stop missing. It was insane. So it was just like a really awkward position to be in. And then I misclicked Endeavor and I was like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. So there was
only had one potion for some reason.
There was a number of things that went wrong there. But
you were greedy.
Yeah, we got greedy. We'll come back some other day in a different region, in a different Pokemon form, game, and
different powers,
different party, different team. It'll be great. And if I may, just one additional thing. We were leaning very heavy into water types.
That's true.
You know, because
we had all water types.
We had
and ground. We had two psychic, two ground, two water.
You're very right, because if we had gone the way that we were, because we had the two rock types, we had two Geodudes. We had like, and you know, one of them died in the Eterna Forest before we even got there. We had and you know what? I'm spoiling it. You guys should go watch it. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can see us have an absolute meltdown at the end as everything starts falling apart. It was wonderful.
I don't know about wonderful. That was traumatic.
It's exactly what Sacro wanted. Sacro was complaining the entire time that we were being too careful because he says he wanted content and he got all the content at the end.
It's a little short, but it's a lot of content.
I don't know about short. That was 3 hours, man.
It was 3 hours grinding.
3 hours plus the session zero. And yeah, it was wonderful. But yeah, so today we read Dandadan by Yokinobu Tatsu. The theatrical release for the first couple of episodes is going to be coming up here in a couple of weeks. I have my tickets. I wanted to go watch this. And this is a manga that I read on recommendation from Gamma. Because there was once upon a time when, and this happens periodically every couple of months, where somebody says, oh no, Shonen Jump is losing titles. So, you know, because titles are coming to an end. What is the next big three? You know, because like that's the model that we've been working on this entire time, right? You know, we had Bleach. What is it? Like Bleach, Naruto, and One Piece. And One Piece.
But One Piece is still going. Technically, One Piece is still part of the big three.
Yeah. The big three operating at 100% is like Bleach, Naruto, and One Piece. The big three operating at 99.5% power is One Piece by itself.
Because it's never stopped. It's still going.
I'd say Naruto still has a bigger cultural impact. That's fine.
Have you seen how popular One Piece is in Latin America? It is insanity.
So is Naruto. What do you mean? Everybody's name was something Uchiha in the Latin American community for years, decades even.
The people Naruto running could not make it into Area 51. I'm just saying.
Naruto running is very popular too.
Oh, that was great. That was one of the funniest things.
I wish they'd done it. But I was in the military at the time, so I was reading about that every day. And they're like, so what's going to happen? I'm like, I don't know, man.
What was the general consensus of all of your buddies whenever y'all were reading that? That we people were stupid?
Well,
I can imagine Sacro like in the Middle East reading about this every day, like, Lord, please let this happen because it would be so funny.
I was actually not in the Middle East, luckily, at that time. Because what was that? That was 2020, maybe?
2020-ish, thereabouts, yeah.
Yeah, that was, okay. So that would have been, I was in Oklahoma at the time, which makes zero sense for the Navy, but, you know, that's how it is.
Yeah, I know.
We were reading every day.
A landlocked state.
I had to write a intel brief for an admiral about the possibility of what. So I had to explain to him what a Naruto run was. Literally, no joke.
Can you imagine the army like taking a moment to explain what a Naruto running is?
I had to explain it.
They want to be fully prepared.
And I'm like, okay. So the thing is, you got to aim for the legs. So because the arms are too fast. If they get them into fully locked back position, like, you know, like a fighter plane, right? With that jet to the, they're gone. They're done. So you got to get the legs early and then we're fine.
Jeez. But
there was like some guy talking about carpet bombing and I'm like, this is not okay. We're done with this conversation.
Wow.
Okay. So that being said, you know, every few months, somebody on the internet says, Shonen Jump, it's losing its big three. So what will the next big three be? And there's always like all this talk about like which titles technically would fall upon that. Like right now they're talking about that again because like Jujutsu Kaisen's coming to an end. My Hero Academia, it just ended, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, and One Piece is supposedly ending again. You know, so
it's always in.
It's never going to end, man. It's going to be just there because everyone's just going to keep reading it.
Yeah. So
there's no choice but to keep it going.
Right. You know, two time skips later. Because this is happening, you know, like people are asking again, you know, like, hey, what are Shonen Jump's next big three? And right now people are talking a lot about Chainsaw Man and Kagurabachi and Sakamoto Days and, you know, just a bunch of stuff, right? But at the time, whenever I read the article a couple of years ago, they said, well, obviously the next big three are going to be Don to Don, Spy Family, and Kaiju number 8. So what me and Gamma did is, with Derringer, Derringer didn't read any of them, but me and Gamma read through all three titles until we were caught up with all of them at the time, which was roughly like around 90 chapters for each. And then we tried to explain them to Dare and see which one he liked, because Dare is not an anime fan. So... And so, you know, it was kind of like a lot of like us just gushing over these titles. This is me revisiting Don to Don and sharing it with you guys. We read the first two story arcs. The very basic story plot is you got two high schoolers who meet by chance, and then they find out that the other is a firm believer in something that they themselves do not believe in. Momo is a believer in spirits, and Ken Takakura, aka Okarun, is a believer in UFOs. And because of that, they kind of get in each other's face over how stupid it is that they believe the opposite. And they dare each other to go to places where these phenomenon are known to happen. As a test of bravery, Momo, you have to go where aliens are said to abduct people, and Okarun, you have to go into a haunted tunnel and see if you encounter the ghost that lives therein. Funnily enough, both of them were right, and both of these things exist, ghosts and aliens. How about that? Mm-hmm. One thing leads to another, and they get kind of caught up in all kinds of supernatural shenanigans. I've described this title as conspiracy theory iceberg, or, you know, like a paranormal phenomena iceberg video, the manga. So
maybe that's why y'all like it a bit more than I do, because it feels more like a paranormal investigative style.
Yeah, it's...
They haven't investigated anything yet, but maybe like they do later.
It's more paranormal.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of yokai-based shows and manga and anime, so right. Yokai angle is always going to be a thing,
and this is very heavy on the yokai. So it's heavy on the yokai, on like the the urban legends, the UFO UAP phenomenon, you know, like lizard people shit, you know what I mean?
So, they made like two references to American or Western cryptids. I think it's Bigfoot and the something monster,
the Flatwoods monster. Yes,
the Flatwoods monster, which I've read all about.
The Flatwood monster, when you played Fallout, dude, that's one of them. That's one of the cryptids that shows up in Fallout.
Which Fallout? I don't remember that.
Let's Google search it right now. Which
I mean, you could be right, I just don't know which Fallout that's in.
Which one is it? Flatbush?
Flatwoods.
Monster. Yes. Fallout 76. Okay, that's why. I never played 76.
Which one is it? Flatbush? Yes, the Flatbush monster. Is that specifically that one?
They all have flatbushes.
So
I want to see it.
A little bit of a breakdown of the characters that are relevant in this particular story arc, in these two story arcs, is we have like the two main characters, Momo Ayase, who is kind of like your typical high school girl. You know, she's got boy troubles. She's got, I don't want to say that she's got a little bit of a hellion, but you know, you get the impression that she's a little bit of a toughest nails girl compared to like her friends, who are a little more like, they look like Yaru, right?
I think they are. At least one of them is.
Yeah, at least one of them is. And then you have Okarun, who is your nerdy kid. He believes in aliens and stuff, and you know, he's kind of like the punching bag for the bullies in his class.
He's friendless.
Yeah, he is friendless. Additionally, we have Momo's grandmother, who is entirely too young to be a grandmother, And, you know, we have a couple of other characters, such as the aliens, who are the Seropians. They're from planet Serpo.
The aliens, they were creepy. They all look the same. There's more to the aliens later on. I can't get into it. I'd rather be attacked by yokai than the aliens, if I have to choose between one or the other.
They're the, yeah, Serpoians.
Do they ever come back? Yeah. Are they only in episode one? Or chapter one?
They're on chapter one. You'll see more of them if you decide to continue reading the manga.
Okay.
So there's
they're supposed to be clones.
There's those guys, and then we have the ghost called Turbo Granny.
My opinion on Turbo Granny. She takes my nuts. She needs to go away. There's no if or buts about it. You don't mess with the bolas. Even if I get cool superpowers, you don't mess with the bolas.
So this manga is wild because the characters are really out there, right? I'm going to start by saying, you know, you guys, I made you read this. Give me your takes. Like, let's
be honest. That first chapter, that first chapter is pretty bad.
I don't know that it's bad. I mean, like, it caught my attention when I read it. But it is something that if you're not ready for it, it will punch you in the face. Like, because it's got a lot of things that you would never in a million years expect. So Helix, let's go ahead and get started with you, since it seems like you're the one that didn't take to this title more than Sacro did. So give us your thoughts. Like, what do you think?
At least the first chapter. Like, I read through the first chapter and I'm just like, yeah, this feels more like another DX high school DXD one. I kept reading and I was like, this is getting worse and worse. Because the clones were like, yeah. Literally, once Turbo Granny started talking about taking your schlong, I was like, why?
I remember that was your, those were your exact words, in fact. You dropped in the chat, like, I read chapter one, .. Why?
it's barely a story, though. Like,
well, you gotta keep in mind that, you know, like, you read one chapter at that point. Yeah, so, like,
it's pretty complete. It's super long, too, and there's a lot going on.
It is kind of a long chapter, too. That I will give it that. I do believe that first chapter was...
The first two chapters were 60 pages.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was in the neighborhood of, like, 30-some-odd pages, which is weird for a manga chapter, because they're usually about 10.
All the other ones are 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's got long chapters, so you're not wrong about that.
Well, the first two were long. After that, it's like 19
actually,
pages per chapter.
You know what? Like, according to the Shonen Jump app, which I have open right now so that I can look at chapter one, the first chapter is 67 pages, and chapter two is 52 pages. So they are long chapters, dude. Like, no kidding.
So I basically read an entire book.
Nice. I mean, yeah, like, it, because when you really look at it, like, in the usually a manga book will have like in the neighborhood of 10 chapters, but the first book of Dandadan has half of that. It has 5 chapters total, so they were long chapters. But yeah, like, anyway, Helix, I interrupted you. Good, carry on.
You're fine. After the first, like, when after they finally escaped from the UFO. Around there, it was starting to get better, but still, like, the whole transfer through the phone thing, he did that once and he was never able to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
I don't think I've ever tried it again.
Now, I was going to say,
they were together the entire time after that.
I think that the thing about that is that, that at that point it was Turbo Granny piloting the body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. Maybe Turbo Granny was did that. Just they kept making the same joke too, and then they had to go and try to find the dude's testicles after that. It's like, really?
I'm seeing a pattern here. Helix is like, oh, there was talk of schlongs, and then they had to go find testicles. What am I reading?
I mean, it's your typical like setup, but with weird items instead of what they usually have.
That's true.
They're trying to find the One Piece, they're finding testicles, you know?
We're not finding, like, it's not the Shikon jewel, it's the family jewels.
Yeah, that's essentially what it feels like. It's the same setup we've had in pretty much every other like manga of this style, but this time it's really weird choices. So,
all right. So, Sekiro, let's hear your take on it.
Well, in the first chapter, there's some things I don't like in stories when they do,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is fan service right away in a weird way, mm-hmm. and that was they had her like she's not naked, she's in her underwear, but
she spread eagle, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, I hate when they do this. This is my, when it comes to manga, there's like so much stuff they do that I don't like that are very Japanese-isms, I call them, in their media.
Mm.
They're just not for me. But I've been reading them for so long, and like the older I get, the more I'm like, yeah, I don't really want to put up with that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put down a lot of stories because if they do too much of something, I'm just like, yeah, no, I'm fine.
That's fair.
Comics do a lot of stuff, too, I don't like. Like, I used to put up with a lot of stuff comics did. And I'm like, nah, I'm not done with that, too.
I would argue that comics are getting worse about it, you know, because, like, it seems almost like, for a long time, it was assumed that comic books were a kid's medium, and it feels like the comic book industry has been trying to break out of that that typecast for a long time, and that the way that they have been doing it is by just really leaning hard into darker themes. As a matter of fact, I can't read The Boys because I feel like The Boys is very aggressively that.
And well, The Boys is completely different, though. It's a deconstruction of the comic book industry at the time because the dude who wrote it,
mm-hmm.
complete sadist, who was the edgiest of people, around. You know, he would do some he'd go to a community of whatever member and shout whatever racial slur at them,
mm-hmm.
just to get I'm edgy, look how funny I am, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And his stories were bad. He has a lot of sexual assault topics, yeah. in his thing. There's a kid who gets his tongue cut off
because
he pretty much takes every character and makes them the worst possible thing they can be. And they're just not good.
I agree with that. And, you know, like, here's the thing. Me personally, I like stories about good guys. And I feel like I really dislike the way that modern media has kind of like taken that darker tilt because, you know, like I remember whenever Game of Thrones was airing, everybody tried to convince everybody that it was a great show. Oh my gosh, so fantastic because, you know,
Game of Thrones.
Because there's no such thing as a good guy in the story. And I'm like, what is the appeal of it then? Like, I don't understand. Like, so you're going to...
Who do you root for?
Yeah, you know, like, well, not only that, but it's like, so you're going to make me watch a show about just a bunch of assholes being assholes to each other. I'm like, I can't get behind that, you know?
Always Sunny in Philadelphia does it great.
Well, there's a difference. Always Sunny in Philadelphia doesn't try to pretend that, you know, like, this is okay. You know, so...
Yeah, I know. Well, like, they don't pretend it's okay either. The books are just... So the period of, like, dark and edgy content was, like, 10 years ago. It ended around 2020-ish. 2019, 2018 was when the comics stopped being overtly edgy, so that's not even here anymore. We're way past. Well, we're,
you know,
at,
like,
least 4 years past.
If I can put it, like, you know, just like, you know, it just in a way that it kind of like feels to me is like I recently watched Deadpool and there was a conversation like in the movie where Deadpool looks at Wolverine and he's wearing like the suit, right, like the yellow X-Men suit, and you know, he's like, finally you're dressing like you're not embarrassed to be in a superhero movie. And like, I feel like that's exactly what comics were like for a long time. It's like they're ashamed of being superhero books, and like, not just comics but TV and media in general, like, you're ashamed, mm-hmm. of being objectively what you are, you know, like. And I feel like that's so wrong. I'm like, dude, like, if you're gonna be cringe, embrace the cringe, you know, like, just embrace the wholeness of what your genre is and like stop trying to deconstruct it by being edgy. That's so dumb.
See, but I think one thing that they try to do as well, though, is not necessarily deconstruct it. They try to also find a different way to do a story that's been beaten to death, I guess is the best way to say it.
For Dandadan?
Well,
like Dandadan.
There's,
because that's essentially what it is.
Well, there's only so many ways you can tell a style of story, so adding in limits, adding in new tropes, you can only do so much.
And I mean, that's been the manga scene for like the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like Naruto, Bleach, Dragon Ball Z, and One Piece kind of set the stage in their early chapters for what a shonen anime or manga could be, and no one's tried to break that mold yet. Everyone's just said, we can do that, but what, instead of ninjas or pirates or, I guess, Soul Reapers? I don't know what they're called. Grim Reapers, I guess.
Right.
What if they're...
Soul Reapers?
Well, yeah, Soul Reapers is what they're called in America. I think they're literally
Shikigami.
Shinigami,
correct. Shikigami is a different thing. Yeah.
Those things. But like every single one just takes the core concept of a shonen, which is fine, and then adds something new to it. We already have the superhero one. We have Chainsaw Man, which I don't know what their specific niche is. I've never read it.
It's
it's
a little horror. Yeah, like it's a little bit horror. It's a little bit like, oh gosh, how I described Chainsaw Man as like if Quentin Tarantino wrote a manga, it's how it feels.
See, and I felt like My Hero Academia was like X-Men in Japan.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah, like I thought that too. Like this is X-Men,
well, it's like
but anime.
X-Men, but yeah, because instead of hating the X-Men, they all love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
that's
it's like
true.
They didn't get the point of X-Men if they were trying to copy X-Men.
Well, you haven't read it all the way until the end because it does kind of start getting in that place where it's like, oh no, superpowers. Oh no, like it starts being like we hate the people who look like they have a superpower that could hurt you. And there's this whole talk about like specifically like the powers that deform people, you know, so like the people who look like animals and stuff like that, like people start reacting to them with fear because it's like, oh, well, and there's a whole story behind it. But anyway, Dandadan.
Yeah. So the first chapters, it's pretty stock standard. It's the weirdness of it is like the schlong piece and they were going to take her reproductive organs away.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to mate with her because they needed to get the feelings to
the banana organs. Yes, like they needed to get. So, I mean, there was an explanation for it, right? And it feels like a bad explanation, but I feel like also like if aliens were trying to communicate with people, I feel like a lot of things would get lost in translation too. So, like, the idea is we reproduced by cloning for so long that, like, our diversity died off, our feelings died off, we have nothing, mm-hmm. you know, like, we're just so homogenous, and we're trying to get that back. So, we're trying to get that back by interbreeding with humans, and...
Is this like a shot at, or a jab at Japan in general? Because that's their problem.
Yikes.
Because they're homogenous in every way, and it's... led to declines in everything and economy and like, yeah. And they're also cutting off people coming there now. They're charging extra. There's this thing where restaurants will have English menus,
mm-hmm.
which have the foreigner tax on it. So if you use that, you pay more money because you're a foreigner. They found it at several places in a recent study.
I know that there was like the racism in Japan's pretty real too. Like,
it's really bad, yeah.
They'll if you're a foreigner, they won't let you into certain markets or certain.
They do this. So they do this X thing with their hands for no foreigner. Like you're not allowed. We had it happen a few times when we were there. Yeah, they call us round eyes. It's not like the most hurty thing, but that's their thing. They say, you know.
Mm.
Like I thought it was funny, but I'm also like, this is crazy. Like I've had less racism ever anywhere I've been in the world than in Japan.
Mm.
Unrelated to what we're talking about though.
Right.
The Dandadan, yeah, it felt like the reason they were doing things is just to get quick fan service. And I don't know who the artist was behind this, but they love miniskirts.
It is
skirts in general.
The author, Yoki Nobutatsu, does the story and the art. So
there's a scene in, I can't remember which of the chapters, but she's wearing like a tight fitting skirt. Not like a mini skirt, not like a flowy one. And she's sitting down and you can just see like the perfect like ripple of her butt cheeks, like drawn every detail. I'm like, this guy has studied this forever. And I'm like, it's a little too horny for me, but they stopped doing that all the time. But I could see it every once in a while. I'm like, okay, this guy's a type. This guy's a thing he likes.
Eiichiro Oda would like to know his location because supposedly like whenever he was drawing One Piece, like especially when he got to Egghead, his whole... And I don't know how true this is, but I heard that there was like a question and answer thing. It was like, what are your goals with Egghead? He's like, I would like to perfect the drawing of female butts. And this explains why Nami and Robin are wearing those outfits. So,
oh, yeah.
Supposedly.
They have like pencil thin waists and giant boobs. That's his women's style. All of his women look like that. And then his men look like whatever he felt like that morning.
His women's style? That's my women's style too, baby. Anyway, done the done.
The olive oil style.
Yes. But I hear what you're saying. It feels like Dandadan is your typical, like, so for example, there's a lot of anime out there that deal with the paranormal. We're talking ghost stories. We're talking Kekkaishi. We're talking, you know, like, heck.
Jujutsu Kaisen. Yeah,
I think there was one Cartoon Network, not Cartoon Network, Toonami had. It was the Kekkai.
Yu Yu Hakusho?
Kekkaishi.
No.
Yeah.
It was...
It ran for a very short amount of time because, you know, it just didn't receive the standing ovation that everybody was hoping for.
Yeah, everything had to be trapped in that square.
In the school, yes.
Yeah, the Kekkei Genkai, and then they can blow it up or whatever.
Right, right.
Kekkei Genkai?
Kekkei Genkai is a Naruto thing, but you got the right spirit.
Something like that. Yeah. it's been multiple years since I've seen it. I don't have my phone on me, so I don't know what...
Right.
Yeah, I'm trying to not look anything up.
Additionally, we also have like the one that Sacro brought up whenever we were talking about the title that started it all, which was what's it called? Nura Rise of the Yokai Clan, right? So there's a lot of like paranormal stuff.
Yeah, that's a very popular one.
In Japan.
But not anymore.
And so like it almost feels like you can't just tell the same story. You have to do something that helps you stand out. And I feel like Yokinobu Tatsu has a interesting way of approaching this in that he makes it funny, you know, like, so it's not just like, yeah, we're hunting yokai, or, you know, we're encountering spirits, or we're doing this, we're doing that. He's like, we're not just encountering yokai, we're encountering yokai, and we're just like high schoolers, you know, we have no business doing this. Like, if you're encountering yokai, there's a higher chance that you'll behave like Momo and Okarun than you will just be an Ichigo Kurosaki, you know what I mean?
Or a Yuji, because let's be honest, it's probably closer to Jujutsu Kaisen than it is to...
Yeah, so it is closer to Jujutsu Kaisen than Bleach. So it's less likely that you're going to be like a Yuji Itadori who is like, you know, takes to fighting spirits very quickly. And it's more likely that you're going to do a lot of this. You're going to do a lot of running away. You're going to try to figure it out on the fly. Uh-huh. And you're going to be struggling to stay alive the entire time, right? And also, one thing that I...
beat up a lot too in the beginning.
Yeah. One of the things that I do love too, though, is that they develop powers from their encounters with you know, the things that they encounter, right? So Momo, when the aliens try to like sedate her using their psychokinesis, yeah, awakens her medium powers, and Okarun, when he's possessed by Turbo Granny, happens to steal her powers, so now he's super fast. So they both get these powers, but the thing
I felt like that was such a plot armor thing right there. It's like, oh yeah, it was in you. You couldn't control it, but now you can.
Well,
she made a reference to her grandma having the powers already. So that's where she got them from.
That's true. Yeah, she did. She did say that her grandma had. And as a matter of fact, there was talking about Okarun.
Okarun, yeah. Because let's be honest, he's just a normal kid, and somehow he ends up being able to trap the granny's energy inside him. Like,
he can't, though.
Yeah, no.
He traps it.
Yeah, so Momo traps it. And additionally, if you... You know, because up to the point where we've read, they still don't have 100% full control of these powers. You know, like they're figuring it out as they go. And Okarun can only go max for a couple of seconds at a time half the time, you know?
He says he's going to do it twice before he dies.
I feel you, Okarun.
Yeah, so he...
We're same.
God damn it. So yeah, you know, like it is trying to do a lot of things different. It is trying to be more comedic. It's trying to be more lighthearted, and the people don't take to their powers right away. It felt like the entire time that I'm reading this, they are fumbling their way to victory, and I'm like, I love that about it. You know, like it's so fun. But yeah, I agree with what Sekiro's saying. It does feel like, you know, he was trying a lot to be different for the sake of standing out. And I don't know how much that is on purpose or how much all of that is his own personality, you know, because like as a writer, your personality inevitably shows in whatever you're writing. So I'm kind of right there where I don't know how to feel of like, was this 100% on purpose or are you just this kind of funny guy? You know what I mean?
I mean, I didn't really laugh at any of this stuff, but it was funny in a way. Like, it's supposed to be funny. Like, it's like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it had its good part, but... Because everything's funny. Like, anything and anything can have funny parts.
Yeah.
It's just, I felt like the overall story is just so overdone.
So the stuff is trying to lean into more, which I don't know if it leads into later. How much do you guys know about the connection between paranormal and UFOlogy?
So look, we can do an entire video on this, like an entire like episode on this, because Sekiro, like, this is a topic I can talk about a lot. And in Dandadan specifically, I have theories for how things are working. I'm not fully caught up, but I'm like in the neighborhood of like 100 chapters in. And it's my theory that the way that the world of Dandadan is built is just based on the things that I've seen. There is aliens who are trying to invade, but they can't get through because yokai are like the Earth's immune system to paranormal invasion. This is my theory. I could be 100% wrong. Like, I just completely off base. Like, I do not understand, but it feels to me that way, because it feels like every time an alien shows up, like a yokai shows up too, to just kind of like present an issue. So like,
they definitely make inferences that they same thing happens to each other, or that there's a correlation between both of them. Because even in the first chapter, it's talking about that.
Even in the first chapter, it is talking about that, and there's the whole thing that, you know, when Turbo Granny shows up in the UFO, she kind of wails on the aliens, right? So it is my, and, you know, like, hey, you know what, visit us at the battle phase on X and tell me how wrong I am, you know, like, because it feels to me like that's where this was supposed to go, and I might be 100% off base. So I mean, like, just let me know what your thoughts are. But yeah, so like, that's kind of where the correlation is here. Now, if we're talking about in real life, I personally subscribe to the belief that aliens, UFOs, ghosts, paranormal things are all different ways of seeing the same thing. I'm kind of like in the blind people trying to make sense of an elephant, camp of believing in this stuff, where it's like the person touching the trunk believes that it's a snake. The person touching the leg believes that it's a tree, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right. But like, I do believe that like paranormal phenomenon, whether they be like sci-fi or like horror based, are probably more connected than we think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I've done extensive research into UFOlogy all the way back to the sightings of whatever on the highways in 1952. I can't remember the year.
Oh, like with like Betty and Barney Hill?
Further back, obviously.
I honestly haven't done too much like into that stuff, so I'm not entirely knowledgeable on it.
Mothman, Smash or Pass.
Yeah, Mothman started it all, actually.
Smash or Pass, sake, bro.
And it was before that too, but it was like, that was the big moment. It troubles me that
you're missing the question.
Sometimes we're diving under the question.
Anyway, carry on.
Okay, so have you seen the statue of Mothman? That's a smash for sure. It actually they have to check its butt because everyone smacks it on their way through the West Virginia area.
I know what? That. I have friends who went to Mothman.
They cheeked it up, bro.
Yeah, they caked up Mothman, the statue, dude. And like, I have friends who went and they had pictures with Mothman's butt. I'm just like, guys, why? And they're like, we touched it. And I was like, I imagine so. I don't think that there's anything barring you from doing exactly that.
They had to sign up for a while because you could see it literally, like the paint was coming off from people slapping its butt every time it went by.
God damn it.
people.
That doesn't surprise me.
Dude, the horny controls everything. People get good at stuff because of the horny.
I became an artist because of the horny. Yes, you're very right. Anyway.
I had my assumptions.
But anyway, so... Yeah, so that's basically like what we feel just like in the basic general gist. I personally like it. I like that it's zany and weird. I like that it's funny, you know, like, and I like that that it's not your typical thing. Sekiro is right in that it has a little bit of ecchi that can be a little on the weird side, but I feel like
it's probably more tame than a lot of.
It's super tame, yeah.
That first one is really just hard to get through.
Yes, the first
one. It's
not
even that bad. It could be way worse.
It could have been
way worse first.
This could have been a goblin slayer, dude.
It's not that bad. Or Berserk. It's entirely not.
Or Berserk with the horse chapter? Absolutely.
I never read Berserk, but I'm going to assume it's something I don't want to
read. It's exactly what you're assuming, yes. Anyway.
The horse chapter.
Anyway.
Like bestiality?
Listen,
No, don't you tell me that.
Kentaro Miura goes hard, dude. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Is that hard? Or is that questionable?
It's very weird.
It's very weird. And I wouldn't even call it a horse, to be honest. I don't know what that is, but I've never seen a horse look at something like that in my life. Anyway, where was I? Anyway, so I like that it's weird. And yet, like, it has a little bit of, like, weirdness that can be a little hard to stomach. And I 100% mm-hmm. agree with that. Yeah. So a couple of things that I wanted to talk about is let's get into the basic story plot. We're going to cover the first two story arcs. So, you know, let's start with the Turbo Granny. It's your basic setup story plot, right? You know, we got Momo and Okarun. They become friends by chance. They engage in a dare. And it turns out the aliens and ghosts are real. Now, Okarun becomes possessed by Turbo Granny. Momo gets powers from aliens. And whenever they manage to escape, they find out that Okarun's junk is missing because Turbo Granny took it. And in order to get it back, they basically have to beat her. And this is where I start to really love the writing because, hear me out. This sounds exactly like the kind of urban legend that you would hear, you know, like, hey, don't go into the tunnel, Turbo Granny will take your junk. And then, you know, like, how do you beat her? This is a typical devil comes down to Georgia situation, right? The spirit that did you wrong has high hubris. So you challenge them at the thing that they're good at in order to get your stuff back. And you win by being clever and creative. And
well, in this scenario, they wanted to outrun her because once they got her away from the earthbound spirit, then she'd be weaker.
Exactly. And so, like, again, that devil went down to Georgia thing. You know, you don't play exactly to their rule. I mean, the devil went down to Georgia is a bad example because you did play exactly to their rules. But he lost because that kid could fiddle. But you play to their hubris, and then you use that to be smarter. This is a Bugs Bunny type situation. You know, like, hey, you let them believe that they got the upper hand on you. And then as a trickster, you kind of like pull the rug out from underneath them, right? So you challenge Turbo Granny to a race. But the moment that she exits her territory, suddenly she doesn't have the same power. So,
well, it was more because she was combined with an earthbound spirit that she was so much stronger.
Right.
Than just being by herself, because the grandmother of the main character even mentions that.
I think her name is Seiko.
I don't remember. I suck at names.
It's Seiko, yeah.
Yeah.
Seiko.
But yeah. She had mentioned that they didn't want to mess with her this early, or nobody wanted to mess with her because she was actually helping other spirits pass on.
Mm hmm. It is Seiko. Now, that said, nobody wanted it. The tunnel where Turbo Granny was, and this is kind of like a thing that Dandadan will do over and over and over again. It'll set up a premise in the typical way that you would hear, like, a rumor or an urban legend or some conspiracy theorist talk about it on a YouTube video. And then you'll go there and you'll encounter something terrifying. But then beneath the terrifying thing, you'll find something weirdly wholesome and tragic. Because as it turns out, Turbo Granny wasn't really that bad at all. She was visiting places where high school girls had been murdered by a serial killer, kind of trying to provide them comfort. And ultimately, whenever Okarun and Momo beat her and beat the earthbound spirit that was attached to her, all of those high school girl spirits that were trapped there because of that spirit managed to pass on to the other side. It's a little bit of a weird thing that Dandadan does, and it does it every single time. Like, I never expect for it to hit me in the feels the way it does, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like...
So, wait. We're getting the, oh, no, I killed the demon, but it was actually a good person this time and again, mm-hmm. and that time again. And by the way, this guy's also was a good person before they came in demon. I'm sorry we had to kill you, friend.
Well,
of Demon Slayer.
Not really. Like, so Demon Slayer is weird because Demon Slayer is like, you killed these demons knowing full well that they were once human. So like, it's like they were once human, but they are no longer. You don't have a choice because there's no going back. But additionally, because they were human, it was inevitable that they were going to have human experiences. And, you know, some of them become demons willingly, some of them not so much, you know, so it's kind of like one of those things. Demon Slayer does have a tendency to kind of lean into it where it's like, every single time we kill a demon, we're going to find out that they were hugely misunderstood and they made a lot of bad choices. In Dandadan,
it's literally every time, yeah.
Yeah.
The first, second.
I honestly didn't like Demon Slayer, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Demon Slayer's all right.
Demon Slayer is pretty good. I enjoy the anime more than I enjoy the manga, but it's because, let's face it, UFO Table is like firing on all cylinders with that animation, man. It is wow.
Yeah, it looks really good, yeah.
It looks really good. But Dandadan will kind of do that a little bit, but like it's not always like, hey, the demon was the good guy. A lot of the times it'll be like there was a good guy affected by the demon. Or like maybe just because we don't understand something, it doesn't make it bad. It just makes it, you know, something that's trying to survive. There's kind of like a lot of that.
I mean, that's still the Demon Slayer thing then. A lot of them are literally, they got turned into demons and now they have to do this thing to survive.
Yeah, but there's also, let's see, you really, really got to read up to the cult chapter because there's a lot of things in Dandadan that it's like, this goes beyond humanity. There's like some things that are inexplicable, incomprehensible, and there are things that like go beyond our ken, sort of.
Our ken, like arcane or?
No, beyond our ken as in beyond our understanding.
Oh, okay.
Right.
You're talking about like, what's his name? H.P. Lovecraft type stuff? Or more like, we just can't understand you?
A little bit, yeah. Because, I mean, like, and dude, like, I swear, you really should read it because I do not want to spoil any of this for you. Dandadan is better, like, experience, like, no spoilers.
I mean, I'll read it. The end of the second arc, though, with the girl, I was like, oh, hey, I've seen this before. And so I said that a few times while reading it. I was like, oh, okay, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
The new one that had the other golden ball?
Yeah, the other girl that had the golden ball, and her name is... 2 seconds.
Something. Something.
Hold on.
Akira.
It's whatever it wants to be.
It's Ira. Let's see.
Ira.
I keep the, what do you call it, the manga volumes next to me because they have like a dossier at the very front. Ira Shiratori, yeah. That's the second story arc is, and I believe, and again, everybody, if you're out there listening and I'm wrong, go ahead and go to x.com at the battle phase and let me know how wrong I am. But I believe
Bard loves to know how much he's wrong, believe me.
No, yes, tell me how wrong I am. I love it. I eat that stuff up. Like, because no matter how many times you tell me I'm wrong, I will not stop being wrong on purpose. I believe, and this is me speculating because of the design of the character known as Acrobat Selkie, which is the yokai that they encounter in the second story arc, that I believe, based on her design specifically, that she's that new yokai that's kind of been subject of a lot of popularity in Japan recently, Hashaku-sama, who is, it's a yokai basically that, if you've ever played a Resident Evil game, have you?
Mm-hmm. All of them.
It's a stalker enemy. You know, like how stalker enemies, you can't,
the ones
kill
you can't
them.
Kill.
They can't, you can't kill them, but they follow you. And so Hashaku-sama is kind of, and the name literally translates to 8 foot tall. It is a spirit that is an 8 foot tall woman wearing all white, and she just stalks you. That's it.
Well, she's wearing red in the
manga. She's wearing red in the manga, yes.
A red One Piece.
All right. But like just off of her design, and especially in the scenes after, you know, after we like hear her story, which her story is tragic. But like after we see her story, like there's these couple of panels where she's a ghost now, but we see her face, and I'm like, yeah, that looks very much like every Hashaku-sama artwork that I've ever seen. Like it looks very much like it to me. But yeah, she's wearing red in the manga, allegedly wearing red. It's in black and white, but you know, like she's allegedly
wearing
red.
Yeah, but they make reference of it twice,
right? But yeah, like, and this is kind of like one of the things that, you know, because for the longest time, I always wondered, you know, and this is, I read a lot of manga, so like some things, sometimes some things don't even register, right? But Dandadan, if you've ever picked up one of the volumes from like a Barnes & Noble or like a bookstore or Books A Million, whatever, on the cover, it always says explicit content. And I'm like, well, there's no nudity in Dandadan. There's no graphic violence. I don't understand what this is all about. But I believe that the explicit content that they're referring to is kind of like the nature of what's in the story. Because this the story of Acrobat Selkie specifically was kind of really heavy, you know, because like it's a mom, you know, doing everything she can, working several jobs to provide for her daughter, and ultimately it looks like a gang or something decides that, you know, she's not paying them back fast enough. I guess she must have gotten in debt with loan sharks. There's a lot that isn't said, but like you kind of piece together via like what's happening in the pages, which the pages had like no sound effect, nothing. It was just images. And like, it looks like they decide, okay, you can't pay us. We're taking your kid and we're beating you up. And she chases after them and eventually realizing that she'll never find her daughter again. She'll never be able to catch up to them. And even if she did, I imagine she would have nothing that she could do for them. She decides to just end it all. And it is... Gosh, it is storytelling without using a single word. And this is why I love, like, you know, graphic novels, comics and stuff like that, because you can do stuff like this where you don't have to tell me anything, but suddenly I understand more than you would have, that I would have understood if you had just told me, you know. But yeah, this was definitely, you know, I liked it from the very beginning. But this was kind of like a solidifying point for me where I was like, this is definitely something that I'm willing to read because I love it when stories hurt me like this. You know, like
I prefer not being sad.
Yeah.
Like, in my lighthearted, I took a schlong manga.
Yeah.
Here's a joke about slavery, maybe, or organ harvesting or whatever they could have been doing with this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, thanks for showing me this. Yeah, that's cool. Anyways, now I guess I feel bad for her. I guess
that is true. Like, it's never said what they're going to do with the toddler. It is implied with the last little bit as Ira is saying bye to Acrobat Selkie that her daughter is dead, because she says, let them find peace in a kinder world, and they're both holding hands in the afterlife.
And also my thoughts about Acrobat Selkie. Yeah, she's pretty cool. I like the fact that all her attacks are ballet oriented, and the story of her, how she got her powers and some monster that protects her, that was quite touching. I like that. This series is going to be amazing. As long as they don't censor anything, it's going to be amazing.
So
yeah, so they probably just took their organs and sold them on the black market.
They organs probably did. And this is kind of like the explicit content of Don to Don, because these are things that, like, it doesn't tell you, but you can kind of see it, you know? Like, so even though in my world, I like to think that maybe, like, the girl's dad, because you don't see the girl's dad at all, the girl's dad was the head of the gang and he just decided to take his daughter. I think that Sacro's actually more correct. And I do believe that this was...
Well, we see the ghosts supposedly meet up at the end.
Yeah.
And she's still a kid.
And she's still a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could just
and that had to happen years ago because she meets the one girl by accident when she's a kid.
Right.
She called her mommy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like attached herself to her.
Mm-hmm. But I hear what you guys are saying. Like, it's weird when, like, it's like, hey, chapter one, let me swallow your schlong. Chapter 17, I lost my daughter to people and I couldn't protect her, and now I'm a sad ghost. I'm like, whew.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah. It is one of those things that I love, though. I love it whenever, like, I don't know, when, because this is a very real thing, tragically. You know, like, it is a real thing that happens in the real world. And it sucks. You know, it really does. In stories, though, I love it when stories don't let you forget that just because, you know, like, something is wonderful and whimsical, that there is bad in the world. And, but at the same time, it's also kind of like a little bit of a bittersweet thing. Because it's like, yeah, you know, you were tied to this world because of what happened to you. But, you know, be at peace, you know, like you touched a life, whether you intended to or not. And you know, like, carry on.
Carry on my wayward son.
Mm-hmm.
So is anyone feeling kind of cheapened by the message when you really think about it?
How so?
Because, like, for 5 seconds, we got a basic backstory of this thing they're fighting, so we could feel bad for it. Like, there's a moment where you think about it, where you're like, okay, cool. Okay, yeah, you're trying to make me feel bad for this thing that just died. Like, I get it. I get why that's done, but I got so desensitized to it because it happened so many times in Demon Slayer that I'm like, I don't need it anymore. I don't care if the thing has a sad, tragic story about their life. Well, I don't care.
You'll be happy.
They're eating babies.
So
kill them.
You'll be happy to know in the upcoming story arc, you'll find nothing that you need to be sad for because it's the Loch Ness Monster. So
they fight the Loch Ness Monster
in their school, believe it or not.
Because Scotland and Japan are so close to each other.
As a matter of fact, Scotland is inside of their high school. How did that get there?
can we also talk about the fact that every single manga has to have teenage characters as their main characters? Out of the stories we've covered, we've had like one. I think they're not teenagers.
Gaiju number 8. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that was such a good story because he's literally an adult. He's 34, 32 or 34. I can't remember.
Now, hear me out on this. It's not like a thing that happens in American comics. No, but like there's so many young adult novels that are published all the time where that's exactly the thing. You know, like off the top of my head, Harry Potter, City of Bones. I mean, like Percy Jackson. I mean, like it's a phenomenon everywhere you go. And there's a reason for it. Somebody pointed it out. I don't remember if it was on Twitter or what, but somebody had pointed it out that says, like, well, there's a reason that shonen based around, like, you know, teenagers. Because when you're a teenager, you want to fight for everything. You want to save the world. Seinen titles, you know, were like, you know, like older adult titles, like, you know, Campfire Cooking in Another World with My Absurd Skill or, you know, like anything else. You just want to chill, man. Like, you're done fighting. You just want to, like, take it easy.
Yeah, the mass amount of manga is teenage characters, though.
Right. I mean, like, a lot of what we get here in the West, I feel like, is teenage characters. I feel like there's probably, like, a lot of manga that we never get here because they feel like there isn't an audience for it. And I feel like that's also changing, supposedly. And this is something that I heard recently. But the reason why, it is speculated that the reason why manga titles aren't going for as long as they used to, you know, like because it used to be the case that if a manga was doing well, your editors would never let you close it, never. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of the reasons why they're like, oh, you want to end Jujutsu Kaisen? Yeah, okay, go ahead and conclude it. Or like you want to end My Hero Academia? Yeah, you got it. Go for it. Is because that way they can keep new titles rotating in all the time. So that way they can cater to like foreign audiences. Because in foreign audiences, yeah, you know, like there's new stories, there's new genres, there's new characters, you know, it's like that way you're not, and there's a lot of different types of things going on too. Like, so for example, I don't know if you noticed, but like Kaguya-sama Love is War is a Shonen Jump title, but it's not a battle manga. The Elusive Samurai, kind of the same thing, you know, like, and like just all kinds of things that are changing. Like Frieren Beyond Journey's End is a popular title, but it's not like a shonen battle. It's not anything like that. It's actually kind of like a more quiet, more reflective thing. Mm-hmm. And
a lot of battles in it, though.
It does have battles in it. In the manga, they don't seem to go as long as they do in the anime. Like in the anime, like the there was a couple of things where I was like, okay, yeah, this went on for a while longer than it did in the manga, 100%. And I don't hate it, you know, because it's like you're elaborating on a good thing. That's fine. But yeah, like I feel like that's kind of like a lot of what's happening is, you know, like titles are being different and weirder and not sticking to the same, you know, formulas that they did back in the past because foreign audiences have started liking manga and anime. And because of that, you know, like it's, we want to try new things to see what kind of audiences we can catch with it. I don't know how true that is, but if I suddenly started making a lot of money off of like things that I did, I would want to know what my audience is watching. I would want to know what they're reacting to, so that way I could like put new things out there for them to fall in love with. But we have deviated so far away from Dandadan. Anyway, so I went ahead and like gave an outline for the two story arcs that we covered. I'd love to hear if you guys have any further thoughts on that.
What do you mean?
I don't have anything specific, honestly.
You know, like about the story arcs. Like, what did you think they did well? What did you think need work? What did you think of the characters introduced? The power scaling, the way that the powers developed?
I mean, there really hasn't been too much power development other than she's unlocked her powers and she's now doesn't have to use her eyesight.
Yeah.
I like the spirit hands thing. That's kind of cool.
The spirit hands thing is kind of cool.
The devil wings.
The yeah. devil wings, yes.
I've seen them before, but I like them. I like the slight romance between the two. Like, I'm not a huge fan of, like, main character romances, like, right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a fan of, like, an episode happens later down the line, and it starts developing something.
You know what's funny about that is that this is apparently... I missed this entirely during my first run, right? Like, whenever I first read this. But upon reading it back, I was like, oh, you intended this to happen all along, right? And, you know, like, it is one thing, like, hey, you know, you introduce two main characters, they're going to fall in love, right? Like, it is a thing to expect that. But whenever it's overtly stated, like, so, for example, the first chapter, we see Momo break up with a guy, or the guy breaks up with mm-hmm. her. Yeah. And she says, well, I dated him because he looks like the actor Ken Takakura, this hard-boiled guy. And, you know, she's like, well, now I'm depressed because I'm never going to find my Ken Takakura. And it turns out that that's exactly Okarun's name.
That was such a cop-out.
it was more funny than a cop-out.
It was pretty funny to me, yeah, because it's like, oh, yeah, I'm looking for Ken Takakura to fall in love with. And it turns out that that's his exact name. And I'm like, oh, funny. And
they had the Naruto Sasuke kiss, too.
Yeah, and they had, like, their Naruto Sasuke kiss. And additionally...
And everybody saw it.
It's funny. But here's the thing that I love about this. And you guys can tell me if you agree with me or not. I love that they're reacting to this exactly as normal people would react to it. I was mm-hmm. like, "Oh, you guys kissed," and they're like denying it, which is the typical tsundere thing. But additionally, now they're awkward around each other, which I'm like, "See, you don't normally." I mean, like, this is played up so funny, and it's especially better because you hear it from both of their heads, right? Like, you see their thought patterns as they're going, like, mm-hmm. "Oh, okay, you know, like, well, things are awkward now. Maybe I'm being weird." Maybe they don't want to be around me. And you see both of them going through it. I was like, this feels so different because, like, what would happen in other titles, and this happened in My Hero Academia a lot, where Deku mm-hmm. is 100% just, like, not in tune with any kind of romantic feelings whatsoever. And Uraraka is always blushing every time that somebody mentions that, you know, she's into him.
Wait, but he makes a few references to her in the very beginning, actually.
Yeah, kind of.
She's like, oh, she's so pretty. I can't believe a girl talked to me. Oh, like, he does that right away. Like, when they meet after the battle.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's right.
It kind of disappears right away after that, though, because, you know, he's a man of conviction, and he's got bigger things to do. You know, he's got to save the world. But anyway. But
true.
In this particular case, I feel like this feels so natural. Like, it feels like it was written so that the characters feel, like, very real in the way that they're reacting to all this.
Popular girl, super attractive, with the dweeb nerdy kid. Very natural.
It happens. Damn it, Sakura.
Only in your dreams.
It doesn't feel natural. It does happen, obviously. I've seen, like, especially where I live, there's a lot of, like, guys who don't feel like they're... That's rude to say they're not in the same thing as it. Basically, like, unattractive, don't look like they take care of themselves, and their girlfriend's, like, you know, pretty, does her hair, has good makeup, takes care of herself, works out, and they do not.
Yeah.
And you can just tell.
No.
But that does happen. But I also live in, like, a ruralish area.
It does rural happen. City. But that being said, like, what I'm trying to get at here is, and honestly, I don't think that Momo is that popular, to be honest. She kind of feels like a little bit of an outcast herself. She's got friends, you know, but, like,
in one of the chapters, they called her the most popular girl in school.
Which chapter was that?
Like, yeah, and in the beginning, they called her the most popular girl in school. They did, because they're like, oh, the most popular girl in school just talked to blah, blah, blah. It's like, what?
No shot. Hold on.
Yeah, you go back. I just read it all today. Well, I read parts of it again today. Yeah, you can go back and see it. It's real.
No shot. Give me a second. I'm at the place where it would happen, like, in the first chapter?
Not the first. It's in the first, like, 1 through 5. I don't remember where it happens.
Uh-huh.
It's at, like, the school, though.
No, I don't I don't remember that being the case. I read these like yesterday, so but the thing is, I'm also no, but like here's the thing though, like Momo actually has like this whole soliloquy at one point. Not a soliloquy, I feel like that's too fancy of a way to say that, you know, she's having a flashback, but you know, like whenever she's talking about like her grandma teaching her, like, you know, to like the ritual when she's walking home and everybody would call her weird and stuff, and you know,
but
like, so
she even mentions that the only reason why she hated that was because they're making fun of her grandma.
Right, but
and like, they showed the grandma, and like the grandma is weird, but she's also like not a grandma.
How do we feel about the grandma? Firstly,
I think it's a funny character. I don't know why she's a grandma. I don't understand what they're doing.
I think
with
it would
have
been
character.
Better if it was just like a mother or aunt or something.
Older
like
sister.
It, honestly, I think if it was like an aunt, it would have been perfect.
Yeah, like an aunt or something. But like I'm just like holding on for like the big reveal that there's a reason that she looks so young. You know, but like.
I thought it was a Tsunade type thing, to be honest. So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so I'm kind of holding on for that to be the case. We'll see. But so anyway, like it is kind of like a thing that I don't feel like she I don't doubt that she's popular-ish, but I don't think that she's the most popular girl in school. I thought that the other girl was the most popular girl in school.
Yeah, the one that said that she's going to save the world because she's cute.
I guess she's the prettiest.
Yeah, she's very pretty, but she's also in her own head.
She is also in her own head about it. Yeah,
a narcissist.
So like, she is kind of a narcissist. Yes,
she likes to play with guys because she's pretty and she knows they're not worth her time. I just went back through chapter 3 and I forgot they had a scene where they lifted her leg up and upskirts her basically, and she's about to get eaten.
There's so many of those.
Oh yeah, that was a thing. I forgot.
And this is the
first
time you see the grandma. And literally, you just see down her shirt the every clip she's in. You know, I take it back. There is some stuff where,
yeah,
Japan.
It is
come
Japan.
On, Japan, calm down.
But anyway, so the thing about this is, I feel like they're really not the most popular. Like, I do feel like, you know, Momo has friends, and she's not like an outcast or anything. But you know, she also like I feel like she doesn't click with like the rest of her class so much. And Okarun obviously is the nerdy boy. So I mean, like, if anything, there's a little bit of a disconnect in that she's more well adjusted than he is. It kind of feels like, but at the same time, you know, she's not like the prim and proper like Japanese schoolgirl type either. She's got kind of like a temper on her, and you know, like she's a little bit of aggressive too. I was trying to make a point. I don't remember what that point was.
Lost your train of thought.
I remember when she goes and sits by him and stops from getting bullied. Everyone's like, why did she, beautiful girl, sit next to him,
a
loser?
I did like whenever the bully goes up to What's-His-Face and he's like, hey, thank you, introduce me to What's-Your-Face because I heard that she spreads her legs all the time. And the dude immediately turns around and's like, what'd you say? And it transforms and he's like, better stop saying that shit. And I was like, yeah, that's okay, that's not bad.
Okarun's
pretty standard.
Okarun's demon form grew on me. I didn't like it at first.
The second demon form was fine. The original one was bad.
The first one was just like he was a mess. But whenever he turned into the one that had like the eyeshadow, not the eyeshadow, the eyeline.
Yeah, the eyeline.
The over jacket, like the edgy character, that one wasn't bad.
Right, right. And he still has kind of like a little bit of a... That he's got like a little bit of a monster maw that kind of goes over his face, kind of like a hollow mask.
I just kept seeing it as Deku's like grinning mask.
Right, right. So that is something that kind of continues forward. But yeah, so that's basically like in a gist the first two volumes. I'm still very excited about this anime because for all of the things, I mean, like, and I feel like you two like just didn't click with it as much. But like for all of the things that it does, that's a little questionable. And I suspect that these are going to be taken out of the anime, especially now that, you know, like anime is kind of like a big industry that kind of like flies overseas. A lot of the more problematic stuff is usually toned down a lot. However, up until where I am, it has this way of just dragging you on for like a really weird, really fun time, and it just keeps getting better and better and funnier, and every single time it touches on like some on like these weirdly dark topics, but like it never does so in a way that's just gonna kill you inside, you know. So it's not like you're berserk, it's not like you're Chainsaw Man, but it has a lot of personality in the way that it presents itself. And honestly, I think Cyan Saru is 100% like the best studio to take this on. Whenever they said that they announced that it was getting an anime adaptation, first things I thought was like, hell yeah, this is exactly what I've been waiting for. And the next thing that I thought, I was like, oh my God, who's going to do this? Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like UFO Table did a bang up job with Demon Slayer. And, you know, like MAPPA is wonderful, but like, please let your employees rest once in a while. So I was like, CloverWorks question mark, and like whatever they said, Cyan Saru, I had to go like do research because I hadn't heard of them before. And they worked on a lot of like really quirky, really weird titles. So I was like, this looks like it might be a good fit. And then whenever I saw the first couple of trailers, I was like, this is a good fit. This is going to be fine. So I'm kind of excited for it. Excited to go see the theatrical release. What are you guys thinking? You gonna go? You want to come with me?
A theatrical release here, so
come on.
Let me fly all the way over there. I'll
fly all the way to Texas. Let's go watch it.
I'm good.
What? I think it's for like $400 right now.
I'll uninvite my sister. Yeah, you can
come.
You will spend $400 on a flight, but you know what? I got you covered on the theater ticket. It's fine.
Yeah, $20 theater ticket or whatever it is.
Yeah, like the $20 theater ticket. It was $14, but yeah. But any other thoughts on Don to Don before we wrap up this video?
Not really.
Who was your favorite character?
I didn't feel like I spent enough time with any of the characters to like them.
It's two and a half.
I like the main girl.
It's too early to tell.
What was your favorite power?
There are multiple powers.
Yeah,
that's just the hands.
You had like the hands,
the hands, and the speed.
And
it's like not a lot enough happened between the first 18 chapters, even though a lot happened. Two story arcs, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You want to call them full arcs? Happened. They didn't really feel like enough happened to establish stuff.
I agree.
What did you think of the art?
The one with the girl when she's like all the hair girl. When she does like this, there's like a full spread of her. I like that art. That was cool.
Yeah.
And I like the way he draws the characters. They all look good.
All the characters. Faces. Yeah.
That wasn't bad.
He has
and their hair looks fine.
He has this really weird ism in his art that is unique to him. I haven't seen anyone else do this. Like not consistently, right? But where he'll draw in very big, in excruciating detail, like, you know, backgrounds and scenery and stuff like that. But instead of like letting you get lost in speech bubbles, which a lot of authors do this, where they'll just put like a whole bunch of speech bubbles and you kind of like follow the conversation, but you don't know who's saying what. He'll draw the head of the character who's talking inside of their speech bubble so that you know who's saying what. And I'm like, I appreciate
the mini
that.
Version.
Yeah. I'm like,
that's cool.
It's a little thing, but I like it. Let's see, what else was I going to say is, I think his creature design is top notch. The cityscapes, you could like be looking at several pages in here and you're like, this feels very Japan. Like, you know, like he has captured the essence of what the small town and a city or like even like a rural area in this place would look like. Which is really difficult to kind of like congratulate an author or a manga artist on these things, because sometimes I hear say that they have like a library of assets that they kind of play with so that they can kind of like, you know, do these things super quick. And I've seen them myself on my own drawing apps. So, I mean, it's like, okay, if they do this, I understand drawing backgrounds is not interesting. But when he goes really hard though, like the Turbo Granny scenes with like the yokai inside the tunnel, or whenever Okarun's going full blast on speed, right? Or whenever...
Yeah, there were some really good scenes that he had some very good drawings on. I can agree with that.
Yeah, so I do believe that, you know, he's got, like, some really awesome artistic talent. And the use of, like, different values in, like, you know... manga's in grayscale, right? So, I mean, like, it's a bunch of grays. But like
all grays,
yeah. It looked really good, like, and it really does feel like whenever we're going into a little bit of a like a darker place, like for example Turbo Granny's tunnel, or whenever we're looking at the abandoned hospital where the alien showed up, really, really good. It's just like the attention to detail in every location. Fantastic. I mean, like, I really, really do enjoy this. It's a big breath of fresh air from looking at things. And I don't mean to rag on Bleach. I like Bleach. But you could tell whenever Tite Kubo was really, really tired of drawing, because he would just draw whole pages where it was mostly just like a character, right, and a blank background. And so, like,
to be fair, they worked him to the bone.
They did, and I'm not saying they didn't, but I do appreciate whenever like a manga does have like this level of detail involved, right? So it's not just like characters floating on empty space, but there's a world around them, and they are interacting with it. So yeah, I mean, like, that's basically where I am with the art. So I don't know, favorite power. It's difficult to say, because as the manga progresses, there are a lot of more powers that show up, and they're kind of interesting. I would say that in the first two story arcs, Okarun's power looks really cool. You know, he looks sick as hell when he goes demon mode. So I'm like, I like this.
I like the second form, his version of his demon form, better. The one where he has her power, but not her inside of him.
Yeah, the second form was definitely a lot better.
Yeah, it looks much more usable rather than the first form, where I was kind of like, okay, yeah.
How do we feel about, and you know, like, this is something that I can't believe that I forgot to ask. This is a paranormal title. There are things in the paranormal that look a little bit grotesque, and they kind of like give you a little bit of a pause because it's so unnatural, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, like, for example, the scene where Momo first sees the aliens. She's in a hallway. There's three of them. Their eyes are blacked out. It's really creepy. And we're also thinking, like, the scene where Okarun is first being possessed by Turbo Granny, and his body is writhing and contorting in different shapes. And there is one scene when they're facing off against Acrobat Selkie, where Acrobat Selkie captures Momo by the throat with her hair and basically hangs her.
Yeah, and she's whipping her around everywhere. I was honestly surprised that they didn't break her neck doing that.
Well, she's got psychic powers and it's a ghost, so I like to, I mean, to justify it, like, you know, like, maybe
she got slammed to a wall. That's a physical object.
Yeah, but I like to kind of like picture it as, like, you know, maybe
I'm also
psychic shielding.
That reminds me when they're running away from Turbo Granny and she's destroying everything in their path. How is that justified in that world? Do they just be like, oh, look, our wall just randomly broke or something? That's crazy.
Read the next story arc.
Okay, because I was going to say, because they made a mention of it, but, like, that was it. And I'm like, oh, this feels just like, you know, in superhero films where everything's destroyed and they're just like, that's cool.
Read the next story arc. Like, a lot of things will start making a lot more sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
I probably will give it at least one more story arc.
What else was I going to say regarding? So, yeah, like, the paranormal stuff, there was also one scene where, like, Turbo Granny, like, pulled a bunch of ghosts from a nearby cemetery, so now, like, normal everyday people were chasing after them.
That was like the first right before the final fight with Turbo Granny.
Right. So yeah, like, there was a lot of, like, really creepy, disturbing things. How did those scenes hit you guys? Because I mean, it was kind of like a deviation from the weird and funny, and it was just like, okay, now we're getting really weird.
I think I must have skimmed them because none of them really affected me at all. I'm like, okay, cool.
Same here.
Next,
you're also next thing. Firstly, you're also a horror narrator, Sakura, so you're exposed to this a lot more.
I follow a Reddit that literally posts, like, official gore type stuff for, like, people who want to look into, like, what things happen in the disgusting side of the world.
Right.
And I'm occasionally on there.
I feel like this is less of, like, this is not a shock value type of horror. This is, like, an uncanny type of horror. You know, like, where, for example, and I mentioned the scene where Momo meets the aliens for the first time. They look close enough to people to be people, right? But not quite right. Like, their eyes are blacked out.
Oh, they don't look close enough to people to be people.
Within this world.
Maybe it's in this world. But.
To me, like, yeah, I mean, you're like, oh, if you saw them in real life, but I'm like, well, they're not in real life. They're in this manga.
I mean, even compared to the other characters, compared to the other, like, men characters that we've seen in the show so far, they look completely, like,
right. So
not
it,
real.
That's the uncanniness of it. I'm thinking, like, you know, whenever you see something like that in this particular art, art style, to me, I'm like, this would be like the equivalent of encountering a Man in Black or a black-eyed kid. You know, like it's close enough to like what I would expect a person to look like that I'm like, it's a person, but at the same time, something about them is off. So that it's
Men in Black is a person.
Well, I mean, it depends on who you're asking. So like if we're again, like if we're going down the rabbit hole of paranormal
things, technically the people who were like researching the Mothman / alien encounters / the Smiling Man / everything. They're like supposedly a secret organization below the FBI, CIA in the quote unquote deep state.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories that say that they might not be 100% humans too. So, I mean, like honestly, it depends on which way you're wanting to go down this road.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff.
Right.
I've heard a lot of stuff on that stuff.
Right. So there's that, whenever the people were possessed by the spirits and chasing Okaroon and Momo around, the city while Turbo Granny was trying to corner them. Also, like, you know, their eyes were blacked out and these people were normal people, but suddenly they weren't in control of like their own faculties. And that made it uncanny because like now I remember the way that this was shown in the manga was that they're running and the city is dark. And then they mm-hmm. see one person running towards them and then two, and they're emerging from the darkness and then three. And then there's a crowd and the entire crowd looks wrong. And I'm like, oh gosh, imagine, you know, like just you're running around in the dark trying to get away from something evil and you just run into a bunch of people, but something's not right about them. I'm like, oh, this would be terrifying. So I really dig the way that the author kind of does this.
Mm-hmm. It would have been more terrifying. So the idea of horror in general is lack of control over a situation like mm-hmm. this. They're powerful, they have special abilities. It loses some of its horror because there's no way they're gonna get hurt. The suspense is kind of broken, even though the creatures, when they're controlled to humans, mm-hmm. look super cool on the page. Mm-hmm. There's no horror element because it's like, well, there's nothing gonna happen to them.
You can definitely build a lot of plot armor.
But this is also a shonen title, plotter, you know, so like,
yeah.
So this is like, okay, and additionally, I want to touch back again on the fact that they're not powered in the same way that, say, for example, Yuji and Jujutsu Kaisen is powered. They're powered as in, you know, like normal, ordinary teenagers just discovered yesterday that they have powers and they're trying their best to use them in the best way that they can, you know, so.
But I mean, I'm just saying the horror element, as cool as it is in a concept, you explaining it as a concept, really scary. It's not from their point of view. It's not that scary.
From their point of view, I feel like they were pretty scared.
Like, well, they might have been scared, but taking into account what they can do and what they have done already, like it's just not as scary. It's mm-hmm. more of a buildup of like a creep factor, I suppose.
Yeah. So it's not a horror title. So like first things first, you know, like it is a shonen title and mm-hmm. it kind of falls in the neighborhood of like, I wouldn't say like a battle manga, but it's
definitely got the elements of a battle manga.
It's got elements of a battle manga. So it's not going to delve 100% into like horror territory. Right. But like it
that was helpful.
Yeah. But it does have a little bit of a creepiness to it. And mm-hmm. a little bit of an uncanniness to it. And I think, again, Seikoro, like if you do continue reading, once you get to the cult story plot, suddenly it's going to take a little bit of an uptick in the horror. But
I'll give it a shot.
It's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be exactly what you're expecting, you know, because like,
you're building up now. It better be great.
From what I'm mm-hmm. hearing, you know, like you're expecting that it's going to take a full turn into like, oh, this is, you know, like, I don't know, like this is like the Conjuring films, you know, like they have no power, they're overwhelmed. But no, it's not going to be that. They're still going to have powers. They're still going to do the best that they can. And there's going to be interference from otherworldly forces to help them. But it's not a cult like Midsummer. It's a cult that hides in plain sight in everyday suburbia, and it is creepy.
Oh,
so, it
okay,
is.
I got what you're going with. Yeah.
And so it is like whenever it finally hits what's happening, it's like, oh, I did not expect for this to be a thing. Nice, very nice.
Okay, I'll give it a read. And yeah. I'll come back to you, Helix, let you know if it's good or not.
Yeah.
Unbiased.
Right. Helix is all like, yeah, no, dude, please, somebody get me out of this ride. Like,
I'm good.
I have danda-danned too much.
someday we'll get to Darker Than Black and I'll have some to talk about.
I'm 100% done with Darker Than Black, so we're just waiting on Helix to finish.
Did you read season two?
Huh?
Did you watch season two?
I did not watch season two.
Okay, you're fine then.
I watched season one and that was it.
On rewatch, season two, besides the one factor that I hate, it's actually pretty decent. And then the ending is amazing, just not what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I'll leave it at that. We'll talk about that later.
All right. But we're going to close off this episode. Don to Don is going to be premiering soon. And you know what? I'm going to watch the anime. I feel like these guys will not. But, you know, like...
I'll watch it.
If there is interest from you, the viewer, on us continuing our Don to Don discussion, if you want us to talk about upcoming story plots, hit us up on X. Hit us up at the battle phase and let us know. Hey, I want to hear more about Don to Don. Or any other titles that you may want us to check out. You know, we're always open to suggestions. We're always looking for new things to read. I'm dangerously close to finishing Chainsaw Man, and I don't know what I'm going to do with my life once that's over.
I read that vampire story.
Vampire story?
Yeah, remember you guys told me to pick a manga, and that's the one I picked out randomly. I bought the first chapter because it looked pretty.
Which one was
sitting on my shelf?
Call of the Night.
Call of the Night, yeah.
Call of the Night.
I don't think I saw that one either.
Yeah, Call of the Night. Things that we have in talks for us to discuss is Call of the Night. We have Kagurabachi. We have, I think Helix discussed something called Infinite Gacha. Some recommendations that I've received off of X have been Under Ninja. We've received a recommendation for Miyaruko-chan, which I think is more in line with what Sakura was expecting Dandadan would be. We got recommendations on, oh gosh, what was the other one? Oh man, like somebody reached out to me and told me about, it was like a party of disillusioned adventurers who will save the world.
Yeah, that sounds...
What a title.
Yeah, it has a title and I don't know what the title is.
That's not the title? It sounds like every light novel title ever heard of.
That's the perfect title. It sounds like a title, right? But like, anyway, so we have a bunch of things that we have in line that, you know, like people have recommended. But, you know, we're always looking for more recommendations. So if you have time, hit us up at the battle phase and let us know. Other than that, tell us, what did you think of our takes? Do you think that Sakura and Helix are right, that Don to Don felt a little heavy on the story arbor and the fan service? Or do you think that Yoki Nobutatsu is an unrivaled genius and, gosh, we should all hope to be half the author he is?
Is there no in between, or is this a scale?
There's no in between. It's one or the other.
Okay.
That's awful.
I'm still making you guys do a Naruto episode someday.
Yeah, we're going to do a Naruto episode someday. So until next time, I have been the Midnight Bard. These have been the boys.
And we are done to done.
That was probably the best joke all night.
Adios.